They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. We're going to be talking again about the Bill Nye Ken Ham debate, and we have again with us Dr. Andrew Snelling. And there was one particular aspect in the Ham-Nye debate that was really intriguing, particularly to me, Dr. Snelling, and that is that a number of times Bill Nye actually said, if you can show me one aspect of this thing that he's talking about, if you can show me one aspect of this, he'll change his mind, he'll change his point of view. And that was whether there was evidence of one animal being found in layers where it wasn't actually expected, where it could move, be found in different higher layers. And so I think we should just go through and discuss that a little bit. And again with me, Dr. Andrew Snelling, who is head of research for Answers in Genesis, PhD in geology. And again, a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Steve.
So Dr. Snelling, well, let's talk about this for a moment. The evidence of one animal being found in layers where it wasn't expected. What was Bill Nye really suggesting, and how do you think it would make him change his mind on evolution?
Well, the fact of the matter is he wasn't prepared to change his mind right from the start, because there are abundant cases, examples, of exactly the thing that he was pointing out. And in fact, he was showing his ignorance of the way evolutionary scientists deal with that kind of evidence. All they do is change the theory to incorporate the new evidence. Well, let's give some concrete examples. That's the best way to illustrate it.
Sure.
Most people are familiar with fish fossils in the geologic record and the different names to the different periods. You know, you've got Cambrian, Ordovician, Silurian, Devonian, you know, all these fancy names for different sections of the of layers. Well, Devonian is supposed to be the age of fishes. And in standard evolutionary thinking, you know, it took a lot of development to get up to vertebrates like fishes. And so you don't find them in the first layers in the Cambrian, and it's going to take millions of years for the development of critters to get up to the stage of fishes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since, you know, the standard theory was developed, they've been increasingly finding fish fossils in lower and lower layers.
Mm.
And in fact, the latest reports indicate that fish fossils and evidence of fish fossils is found as low as the Cambrian. In other words, the fish were there right at the beginning when life supposedly suddenly exploded.
Exploded, the Cambrian explosion.
And a Cambrian explosion, which I think we've discussed previously in one
sure.
of these podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's no time for evolutionary development of these complex arrangements called fishes. And so he's just ignoring that. He's ignoring the fact that we can find a brachiopod or a lamp shell fossil that is found in the Cambrian that's still found today on the shores of Moreton Bay in Brisbane,
right,
where we both have a bit of our roots from. And it hasn't changed. It's still the same brachiopod. It hasn't evolved into something else. And there's no evidence of how it developed so quickly, its complex life pattern. And there's numerous examples of this in the fossil record. all the geologists do and evolutionists say, oh, well, it must have evolved earlier than we thought. And so all they do is change what they call the range of that fossil in the record. In other words, oh, we found it lower and we found it higher. And so what? Evolution must have happened slightly differently to what we thought before. In other words, the theory is so malleable it can incorporate any evidence.
Mm.
And so in that effect, Bill is being dishonest because he's evading the question, how did that evolution occur? How could we get these complex arrangements of fossils? Another example, which it to me is quite staggering, and I could mention a number of these so-called living fossils, but one is very relevant to me and involved in ongoing research at the moment, in fact, is in 1994, a national park ranger in Australia, New South Wales, 65 miles west of downtown Sydney, now a 5 million plus population city, was on a weekend trip into a remote gorge in the mountains, the Blue Mountains behind Sydney, and he found this strange tree that nobody had ever seen before, the Wallamai pine. And it caused quite a storm because the closest fossils, ironically, the closest fossils both in structure identifiable as pines, the same as these Wallamai pines, are only found another 60 miles away. And the living and the dead are 60 miles away, separated by 150 million years with no evidence of anything in between. So what was this Wallamai pine doing? Suddenly only surviving in these little narrow gorges, they found about three groves of these in a remote location that nobody knew about for so long since European settlement of Australia. And their closest relatives are just 60 miles away, dead ones, as supposedly separated by 150 million years. What were they doing for the 150 million years that they didn't survive somewhere else or didn't get fossilized somewhere else? I mean, it boggles the mind that this is incredible evidence that the living and the fossil were so close together in geographically, and they had to have been close together geologically because otherwise there ought to be fossils in the record between the dead and the living, and we don't find them. Even in that region, it tells me that the 150 million years never happened. Now, if Bill Nye wants evidence, it's right there, but he's not prepared to change his mind because the evolutionary community has ignored this evidence. I say, oh, wow, you know, well, now this Wallamai pine that's 150 million years old in the fossil record, we now just draw a line that actually survives to the present. They don't even stop to think about what was it doing for 150 million years without leaving any trace of its existence.
Right, wow.
So in other words, they ignore what is plainly there in front of them.
Now, they use terms and it really stumps people, doesn't it? They just come out and use terms like, oh, well, living fossil, as if a term explains the whole thing.
Exactly.
And it's really an evolutionized term, isn't it?
Yeah, they evade the significance of the discovery and they just put it in some terminology that makes it appear to people that they, you know, they can explain it and it fits their theory. It doesn't. It simply doesn't.
Yeah, we can just look at it and say, yeah, it's a Wallamai pine tree. We don't have to call it a living fossil. It was created the day that it was created, that God created all of the same day that God created all the plants
on the third day of creation.
Yeah, which is much more tenable. And when you understand things in the perspective of a global catastrophic flood for those layers, Dr. Snelling, makes much more sense.
What Bill was saying, you know, show me an out-of-place fossil and I'll believe.
Right.
But Ken did present him with a graphic example, a graphic piece of evidence which was slightly tangential but nevertheless relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill just shrugged it off. In fact, he admitted he couldn't explain it. In the Q&A afterwards, and that was the example of the fossil wood found in the basalt.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that, because that is really extraordinary. When Ken was talking about that, Bill Nye then said, oh, well, you know, the basalt, it could have, you know, just slid down through the layers. But then Ken came out and said something just fascinating. Tell us more about that.
Well, it's actually research that I did. And that's the interesting thing about it.
Right.
This was near a developing coal mine in central Queensland, the Crinum coal mine. And when they drilled down to prepare for a shaft, for ventilation in the mine, they went through this basalt layer and they found entombed in the basalt, in other words, it couldn't have sunk into it. I mean, if it was wood on top of burning basalt, you know, 1200 degrees C, about 1700 Fahrenheit, the wood would have burnt up if it was sort of sinking into it. This was entombed in it and somehow survived. It was part of a log that survived. And so here was a great test of these radioisotope dating methods. You can date the wood with radiocarbon, and you can date the basalt with the potassium argon method. And what did we get? Those samples were sent to two different laboratories. These were commercial laboratories that had no vested interest in the results. They weren't told where the samples came from. And so they reported honestly what their analytical results gave. And the basalt had a potassium argon age of about 45 million years, which fitted what the geologists thought about that area.
Mm-hmm.
But the fossil wood had a radiocarbon age of about 44,000 years.
And it's inside the basalt.
It's inside the basalt.
It's not on, you know, correct, underneath it, which is...
Correct.
Wow, that was a huge difference.
And we found also not only twigs, but evidence of the stump. We also found leaves, fossilized leaves that could be. I got a botanist to help me identify those. Mm-hmm. In fact, we've got a technical paper on this on our website that I published back in the year 2000. And so here we have a concrete example of something totally out of place that doesn't fit the theory of evolution. How can you have a 44,000-year-old piece of wood in a 45 million-year-old lava flow? And Bill just said, okay, and tried to explain it away, but didn't really grapple with it. There was some evidence that was presented to him that should have changed his mind or should have raised questions in his mind, but he completely dismissed it because it didn't fit his belief.
You know, we've got to just hit on this just for a moment. Really, doesn't that show that if there was a knockout piece of evidence in respect to what he's talking about, millions of years, here's one right in front of him. He's one of many, but it's one.
Look, you read from Romans chapter 1. Paul says about people suppressing the truth in unrighteousness.
Yeah.
They don't want to know the truth. They suppress it. They ignore it. They push it away because it challenges their belief.
Yeah. It is really a spiritual problem.
Absolutely.
That we're talking about. And we should be careful about how we talk about people like Bill Nye and others because, you know, they're our relatives as far as we all come. We're all part of one race from Adam and Eve. They're actually under the condemnation and judgment of God. We want them to see them come under his mercy, but it is a spiritual issue. I've got 2 Corinthians chapter 4 here. In verse 4, it says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And realistically, Dr. Snelling, they can see the things that are in front of them, but what they are not seeing is the light of Christ, the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ.
And that's why we need to remember that this battle is not won with evidence, it's won with prayer, because it's only the Holy Spirit that will open Bill Nye and other people's minds so that they will understand the evidence that they're seeing.
And for many people who are wondering, hey, why is Ken, you know, harping on the gospel so much? It's because God uses the means of the gospel to save, does he not?
That's right, exactly. In fact, you can convince people that there is a creator, but unless you introduce them to the creator, to Jesus Christ, they're going to perish like everyone else.
Now, these subjects are very great to talk about, and sometimes they can help with barriers in respect to hearing the gospel, in respect to people actually listening to the gospel message. I think it's really, really important that we do it, but we really need to get around to the means of the gospel when we're talking to people about this.
Reasoned answers with prayer and the gospel.
Yeah, amen. Thank you very much. By the way, the Bill Nye Ken Ham debate in full form with commentary is available in a DVD set at Answers in Genesis. Thank you again for being with us today.
Pleasure.
Great. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.